A lot of what I'm going to share this morning is has its roots in a presentation that Dr. Everett Hufford made here 2 weeks ago. If you were not here that Sunday and were not privileged to sit at his feet that Sunday morning, I don't know if it's been downloaded on our website yet or not, but I know if it hasn't, it soon will be. And I would encourage you, if you weren't here that Sunday to hear his presentation, take a few moments this week, go to our webpage, listen to his presentation, and be blessed by that message. And I know that you will be if you'll take the time to do that. Out of that lesson will flow some of the things that I share with us today. Something that Dr. Hufford shared with us that morning has really, really resonated with me at the time and has stuck with me ever since he said it. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase how I heard it. And if you have not heard him, you might want to go back and listen to his message and make sure that I'm being fair in this. But in that presentation, Dr. Hufford said that some Christians, some of us, I've put myself in this category. I'll leave it up to you whether you put yourself in this category or not. But some of us grew up in a religious culture, a church environment, so to speak, where we were introduced really to something more akin to churchianity than Christianity. And what I understood him to mean and what I heard him saying using those terms and making that kind of allusion is that some of us were raised in a church environment, a religious environment, where we were taught more about the church than we were about Jesus. Consequently, he said, some of us today were thoroughly churched, but not as many of us have been discipled in the ways of Jesus. Now, I don't know whether you agree with that or not, but we'll kind of leave that aside, but that was kind of what I gathered from some of the presentation that morning. Now, he's not the first one to make allusions to that perspective. Over the years, others have made a similar observation. Another minister in our fellowship, reflecting on his spiritual upbringing in an article he wrote that I read recently, made the observation that in the church tradition that he grew up in, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, didn't get much airtime in the pulpit. However, the book of Acts and the writings of Paul were referred to and studied from quite often. The result, he writes, is there was a lot of preaching about church and how to do church right, but not so much about Jesus and how to follow him. Now, I suspect that some of us here this morning may have shared somewhat of a similar experience. Again, I won't try to speak for you. I'm only going to try to speak for myself this morning, but that resonates with me. I love the little church that I grew up in. Most of the people who went there were probably related to me one way or another, and some of you probably grew up in a little church like that, where many of the members of that church were related to you. They were aunts and uncles, maybe brothers and sisters, cousins, second, third, and fourth on down the line, whatever, but if you may share that experience, we may share that experience together. So I don't hold any ill will against the church where my spiritual journey began. But I would have to say, looking back on that, again, this is my perspective. Maybe it's not your experience, but it's mine. Looking back on it as I now see it, I remember being taught a lot about church. But I don't remember being instructed nearly as much on the ways of Jesus and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. I learned a lot about church, how to do church right. I knew about not forsaking the assembly. I knew about how frequently one was to take communion and on what day one was to take communion. I knew about the kind of music that was permitted and many other things about church as we in that little church understood it and practiced it. However, looking back on that experience as I remember it, I don't remember hearing or learning much about really what it meant to follow Jesus. Now, I knew some things about Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I knew Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just not on December 25th, right? That was something that we knew. I knew he died on a cross. I knew he rose again 3 days later that I might one day go to heaven if I got everything right and lived faithfully. But again, I don't remember hearing much about what it meant and looked like to be a genuine disciple of Jesus outside the context of the church building and the time that we spent in that building kind of doing church. Looking back on it, I believe I learned a lot about how to be a good churchian. How to be a good church goer. But my understanding of what it meant to really follow the Lord, what it really meant to say Jesus is Lord, was lacking. One vivid memory in my mind, and I think I have shared this on only one occasion here, and it was several years ago, so for some of you, this may sound vaguely familiar. For others of you, you have never heard me share this. One memory I have of my childhood, 12, 13 years of age, somewhere around in there, I guess you would say this is an anecdote, but it's solidified in my mind. It kind of represents how I perceive my religious experience in the past. In my neighborhood, I grew up on Highway 299, Kirksey Highway. Three houses down from my house was the house where my best friend lived as a child. That best friend's name was Stevie. Stevie and I did not go to the same school system, but we were close friends. We hung out after school was over during the week, and during the weekends we played. During the summer, we played all over that neighborhood, all over. We were best friends. As Forrest Gump would say, he was my best good friend. Stevie's parents didn't go to church. Consequently, Stevie didn't go to church. And for some reason, I'm not sure why the conversation came up, but I remember this as vividly as if it happened just last week. We were sitting on his front steps, on his front porch there, their little red brick house. And he and I were talking about church. Now, I don't remember exactly what I asked him, but in my mind, I remember asking him the question, what is the right church to go to? Stevie didn't know how to answer that question. He didn't go to church. His parents didn't go to church. Maybe he went with an extended relative every once in a while, but Stevie had not been churched. So he didn't know how to answer that question correctly. So he started naming different churches that he'd heard of or knew of, whatever reason. And after each name that he would throw out there, I'd say, no, 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 definitely right, depending on what church it was. And finally, I had to tell him, no, the right church, the only church, is the Church of Christ. Now, to me, that represents what I was learning, what I was hearing, what I was picking up on. Even at a fairly early age in my spiritual journey, I was being churched. To me, church was what it was all about. Where you went to church, what you did at church. That was it. That was what it was about. I don't ever remember having a conversation with Stevie about Jesus. So here's what I think, looking back on what I think I was experiencing. I was learning how to be a churchian. I was learning how to be a good church member, a good church goer, but I wasn't, and I think this is a fair statement, I don't think I was hearing or learning much about Jesus and what it meant to say that Jesus is Lord and I'm a follower of Jesus. One of the things that I think we heard and that I learned from having Dr. Hufford with us a couple of weeks ago was that it's relatively easy for churches to produce good church goers. It's relatively easy for churches to produce pretty good church goers. It is a much more difficult undertaking for churches to produce and develop genuine disciples of Christ. Which is unfortunate because the mandate for church leaders is not to produce faithful church goers, but rather faithful disciples of Jesus. Just before his ascension in Acts chapter 1, Jesus gathered the 11 together and gave them what many of us have heard described as the Great Commission, where he gathers them and he said to them, this is Matthew's account of it in chapter 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore, as you go, how the Greek reads, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I have taught you. And I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Now, occasionally I have heard some offer the argument that, well, those words really don't apply to the church today. They were really just given to the 11 and really don't apply to the church today. But surely they do in some way, don't they? Soon after he gave those instructions to the 11, that mission was embraced by the early church, who saw it as their task to make disciples of men and women of every nation, who in turn would grow in their likeness of Christ and in so doing be a blessing to the world and so fulfill the promise that was given to Abraham so many years before that through your descendants all nations, all peoples of the earth will be blessed. And so not only did the 11 go out and see that as what they were about, the early church saw that was what they were about. They were about making disciples, inviting people to follow Jesus. Jesus issued the call, come follow me. And that was the call of the early church. Let's follow Jesus, learn from him, proclaim him Lord, let him lead us, guide us, teach us, instruct us, live through us. And that became the mission of the early church. And would it be fair to say that is not still the same mission today? That we are to continue this mission of making disciples of men and women from all the nations, learning what it means to follow Jesus so that we might be the blessing to this campus, this community, the world that God has called those who are in Christ to be. Paul, interestingly enough, doesn't use the word disciple in any of his letters, unless I just missed it. But he speaks the language of discipleship nevertheless, even though he doesn't use the word. The passage that Dr. Hufford used 2 weeks ago, Ephesians 4, verse 11, doesn't use the word disciple, but discipleship is sprinkled all throughout that passage. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people. Who are his people? Disciples. We're his people. Those of us who've confessed him as Lord, surrendered our lives to him, we are disciples. He is our teacher. God, Christ, gave all of these people to equip disciples for works of service. There's the blessing, right? There's the blessing. We are to be equipped to go out from here and bless this community so that the body of Christ may be built up till we all reach unity in the faith, knowledge in the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That nowhere in that passage do you find the word disciple, but that whole passage is sprinkled with the idea of discipleship. Church leaders have been given the task of helping us as disciples be the blessing that God has called us to be to the community in which he has planted us. And so the task of church leaders, the question that continually confronts church leaders is this: are we producing good church goers, or are we producing faithful disciples of Jesus? In his presentation, Dr. Hufford said he wanted to make us uncomfortable. Again, I can't speak for you whether he did you or not, but he certainly did me. Because ever since his presentation, here is what I have wrestled with. As one of the ministers of this church, is my preaching, and I'm going to bring Mark in on this, does our preaching enable this family of baptized believers to be content just to be good churchgoers? Or are we helping you become faithful disciples of Christ? Folks, that question haunts me. Thank you, Robert. I don't want, a lot of them are gone today. They're usually sitting right here, some of the teenagers in the group. There are other young people sprinkled throughout the body this morning. I don't want the young people of this church to just learn how to be good churchgoers. I want them to love Jesus and to know what it means to say that Jesus is Lord and to really embrace that lifestyle of following Jesus. And I personally don't want us to just be a group of people who are good churchgoers. But I want to see us, all of us, be faithfully, passionately devoted to being followers of Jesus. And I hope that you want that for us as well. Even before Dr. Hufford came to speak to us, Mark and I were talking about, okay, this is earlier in January, what are we going to preach this coming year? What does this family need to hear? Obviously, we were just transitioning out of a rather lengthy study of one of Paul's letters. And so we're asking, okay, what next? Where do we want to take this body of believers over the next year as preaching, as preachers? And one of the early ideas we began to kind of toss out there and began to think about and float was maybe going to the Gospels and focusing our attention on Jesus and what it means to follow him. And then Dr. Hufford came and shared some of what he shared with us, and that kind of confirmed it, I think, for us. Maybe the Spirit was conspiring to do all of this. And so here's what we've decided we want to do. We want to preach a series of lessons that encourage us not to just be good churchgoers, but rather faithful disciples of Jesus, and to ask the question, what does that look like? We've given this series of lessons the title, Following Jesus. You kind of see it behind me on the screen there. We want to build on some of the principles, I think, that Dr. Hufford laid out in his presentation a couple of weeks ago, that we want to explore this, what it means to follow Jesus, not just as individuals, but as a community of baptized believers. All of us, each one of us, comes to Jesus individually. And what I mean by that quite simply is that at some point in your life, and I really appreciated the way he phrased it 2 weeks ago. I won't be able to phrase it exactly the way he did it. We don't baptize infants in this family. And one of the reasons we don't is because we believe it's important for every person at some point in their life to make their confession that Jesus is Lord and to act themselves upon that confession. So we don't do that for our children. We teach and encourage that at some point when you feel you're old enough to have some idea of what it means to say that Jesus is Lord and you want to act on that confession by joining him in the waters of baptism, we'll baptize you. But we're not going to do that until you're ready to make your own profession of faith and commitment that I want to belong to Jesus. So we all have to come to that point in our life on our own. Nobody else can say Jesus is Lord for me. Nobody else can be baptized in the triune name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for me. I must make that decision. I must make that profession. I must make that my own. But now once we've done that, we begin to follow Jesus as a community. We begin to follow Jesus with other followers who've had a shared experience of coming to Christ. And so we come to Christ as individuals, but we follow him together as a community. Dr. Hufford used the expression, Jesus, yes, church, yes. You see, some today, opposite of kind of what I feel like I experienced, are growing up in a culture where the expression is, Jesus, yes, church, no. I feel like I experienced church, yes, Jesus, no. Neither one of those is healthy or biblical. Jesus, yes, church, no, fosters the idea that I can just follow Jesus on my own. And so following Jesus just becomes an individual thing, what I want to do, what makes me feel good, whatever I enjoy doing, that's what I'll do. That's Jesus, yes, church, no. That's not healthy. We don't follow Jesus as individual disciples. We follow Jesus as a family. We follow Jesus in community with other believers. So Jesus, yes, church, no, while it may be the mantra that many follow today, that's not healthy. That's not biblical. But as I alluded to a moment ago, sometimes we champion the church over Jesus. That's not healthy either. It's not Jesus, yes, church, no. It's not church, yes, Jesus, no. It's Jesus, yes, church, yes. We want to be a church who balances those two extremes that people often migrate to. We are not just churchgoers. Following Jesus is about more than what goes on in this hour that we're together. Following Jesus, being part of his church, is not just about doing church and making sure we get all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted and everything done correctly. It's not just about what goes on in here. It's about how we live out there. And at the same time, following Jesus is not just about me doing whatever I want to do, when and where I want to do it. We are not just churchgoers, and we are more than individual disciples of Jesus. We are a family of baptized, Spirit-filled followers of Jesus, committed to following him and living out the teachings of our Lord, and in the process being a blessing to the campus of MSU, the city of Murray, and the world beyond. And so to help us be a Jesus yes, church, for the next several months, we're going to try to explore what it looks like to follow Jesus in community with other believers. To help us do this, we've chosen two blocks of scripture that we believe will be adequate to help us come to better understanding of what it means to say Jesus is Lord and to follow him alongside other believers. The first part of this series, beginning next Sunday morning, we're going to begin several lessons drawn from a familiar but challenging passage of scripture known as the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And we chose this section of scripture because we believe it encapsulates as much as any one passage of scripture in the Bible the kingdom lifestyle Jesus expects his disciples to embrace, to practice, and to follow. And so we want to spend some time in that block of scripture. Secondly, after we're finished with that, we're going to go to the Gospel of John. And we're going to look at and unpack some of the rich I am passages that are found only in that gospel, and some of the other passages as well, which will take us deeper into what it means to follow Jesus and be in a relationship with him. Both of these passages, we think, kind of tap into a mindset that is often found in people. One is the sense of adventure. No greater adventure exists than that of following Jesus and embracing his kingdom lifestyle. You want an adventure? Let's work together to be the people Jesus talks about in that sermon. What a challenge, and what an adventure that can be. And then John talks about what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus. And that taps into a lot of people who want a deeper relationship with Jesus than they already have. And I suspect a lot of us fall into that category. As evidence of that, I've noticed a lot of us can talk about what Jesus did on the cross, but we struggle mightily to talk about what Jesus is doing in our lives now. Our conversations often about Jesus are about what he did 2,000 years ago, not what he did yesterday to bless me, to change me, to help me in some way. So a lot of us, I think, again, maybe I shouldn't try to speak for you. I know this, I see this in my own life. I struggle to do that. I can talk all day about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. But ask me to start talking about what Jesus did in my life this past week, I kind of stammer and stammer and not really sure how to answer that. And I think that reflects the fact that maybe my relationship with him isn't quite as deep, isn't quite as personal as I would like for it to be. John, I think, will really open our eyes to see what it really means to walk with and follow Jesus, to know him, and to be his disciple. So those are the two blocks of scripture that we're going to look at. It's our hope and prayer that through this series of lessons on following Jesus, we can do our part as the preaching team to motivate and inspire us to not just be good church goers, church yes, Jesus no, but to be faithful disciples of Jesus, that we might be the blessing God wants us to be in this community. So that's kind of where we're going for much of the rest of this year. Please pray for us that the Spirit will speak through us in ways that will be helpful to this body in our desire to be greater disciples of Jesus together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this family here on this corner of one of the busiest intersections in this community and right across the campus from Murray State. Help us, Father, to not just be good churchgoers, but help us to be a church that follows Jesus, that knows Him and loves Him and is striving to be like Him together, so that we might be the blessing to that campus and to this community in which you've planted us, as well as the world beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to begin a walk with Christ this morning, we invite you to come and begin that walk and join us as we seek to follow Jesus and make Him Lord of our lives as well. Would you bless your neighbor? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Mm-hmm.